Good evening, folks, and welcome back on this Saturday, the 11th day of April, 2020. I'm your host, Mark Hall. And kudos, by the way, if you know that the Mashiach was actually raised at the end of the Sabbath as it began to dawn on the first day of the week, but understand that from a Hebraic perspective, like the writers, that would have meant basically at about this time, after 3 days and three nights in the tomb, exactly as he said. But of course, don't overlook the irony here either, because it's this year when those who seek him won't be allowed to do so in person, while instead it's a global fascist New World Order dictatorship that, like the mythical phoenix bird, now is arising from the ashes of a formerly at least somewhat free market system. And lest anyone out there think I'm exaggerating, even in the least, let's just talk about some of the news over the next few minutes from last week. Because it's getting harder and harder to deny that the Fourth Reich plan is coming together, literally worldwide, simultaneously, and at about warp factor 9 to boot. And this, then, sadly, may be the representative story of the week. From station KDVR-TV in Denver, a 33-year-old Colorado man has been handcuffed in front of his wife and 6-year-old daughter for allegedly violating Achtung, the social distancing order. Matt Mooney told Fox 31 Problem Solvers that he refused to provide his identification to 3 police officers because he was confident he wasn't doing anything unlawful by playing t-ball with his wife and daughter at an empty park. And now he feels Brighton police owe him a huge apology. Yeah, we know, don't hold your breath, after cops swarmed his family and handcuffed him in front of his 6-year-old daughter Sunday afternoon. Quote, she's like, Daddy, I don't want you to get arrested. And at this point I'm thinking, there's no way they're going to arrest me. This is insane. I'm telling her, don't worry, Daddy's not going to get arrested. I've done nothing wrong. Don't worry about it. And then they arrest me. The incident, says the Gateway Pundit's coverage, was recorded by former Brighton City Councilman Kirby Wallen, who said, quote, he's being taken by the Brighton police for playing softball with his daughter in an empty park. And he told Problem Solvers, I find it hard to believe with all the things going on in our communities, the only way to resolve a situation like this was to handcuff a father in front of his young daughter. Noting that the sign at the park said, Achtung, in groups of no more than 4 persons, parks remain open for walking, hiking, biking, running, and similar activities. And Mooney noted he was at the park with his wife and 1 daughter. For those of you who might be Brighton police and can't count, that's less than 4 people, and that it was the police who were violating their social distancing order. And yes, noted the not yet quite properly chastened peon, it would seem. During my contact, none of the officers had masks on, none of them had gloves on, and they're in my face handcuffing me, they're touching me, he said. Well, folks, it seems Mr. Mooney, unlike the Brighton police, was having an attack of logic. Because obviously there are some Americans that still believe tyranny is still somehow supposed to be rational, consistent, or even, imagine this, law-abiding. Story number 2, via Paul Joseph Watson and his Summit News, from formerly Great Britain, a police force in the UK has threatened to start searching people's shopping baskets in order to catch coronavirus lockdown violators. Yes, folks, they want to look in the subjects of the Crown's shopping baskets to see whether they might have tried to purchase anything that was verboten and not essential for you slaves. The Northampton Police Chief Constable prompted outrage, said Watson, after he appeared in a video attempting to warn people who were buying unessential items at grocery stores that their purchases may be scrutinized by the authorities. And he said, when will at this stage be starting to marshal supermarkets and checking the items in baskets and trolleys to see whether it's a legitimate, necessary item? But again, be under no illusion. If people do not heed the warnings and the pleas that I am making today, we will start to do that. But he wasn't even finished yet, saying if things don't improve and we don't get the compliance we would expect, the next stage will be roadblocks and stopping people to ask why they are going, where they are going. Unquote. And, well, maybe they won't, because finally it seems even Brits have had enough of that kind of tyranny, and there was a huge public backlash. I guess it didn't even take tar and feathers. and the wannabe little tyrant had to actually back off, for now. All of which brings me to a bit of speculation. Now, admittedly, I don't do this too often on the news show. I'm certainly happy to extrapolate a bit on current trends and ask the question, gee, what if this goes on? Because unfortunately, like today, the inevitable endpoint is all too obvious. Anyway, I want to run a quick thought experiment by you, because I heard some comments over the last few days by various people pointing out, hey, if Americans don't rise up, get out and protest, yeah, in groups of more than 4 or 10 or whatever Big Brother says they won't allow, and they get away with destroying literally everything you've ever worked your lives for or hope to be able to provide to your children, we all know where it leads. So I'm hearing a recording of David Knight quoting some libertarian who's saying, time to get up off your couches, quit listening to CNN, smash your little silicon Bill Gates idol, basically go out and say, I'm mad as hell and I'm not going to take it anymore. And how all he was hearing was excuses. Hey, it's nice just laying here getting fat and getting a free paycheck for doing nothing, not recognizing that pretty soon, like millions of other Americans, we're all going to starve to death, because hey, we didn't really care about that Bill of Rights thing anyway. But there are still more and more rabble-rousers getting up and saying, go out and protest, get together in big groups and march on Washington or even your local city council. Violate those social distancing guidelines. Rub it in their face even. I mean, really, if they're going to institute martial law, at least force them to declare it. And your cynical host, knowing now how things work and how a police state responds to uppity peons, couldn't help but think, well, let's just ask, if I was sitting in a think tank somewhere and had so carefully planned all of this and was so anxious to implement my planned New World Order police state, my mark of the beast, and my mandatory vaccinations, how would I deal with that almost certain eventuality? So see if this doesn't have the ring of truth, folks. You want to put down any resistance, make an example of the protesters, and at the same time, restore your booga 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 effect and show the peons just what happens when they get uppity. So here comes the thought experiment. If I was just demonically, satanically evil enough to create a two-part bioweapon and release part one in China and then allow it to spread worldwide, even if it's not yet quite so bad, where better to release the second part and really turn on the death ray? Oh, and maybe that's 5G. Than a major protest or two. I wait until quite a few people gather together in violation of social distancing guidelines, get them all on videotape, and then, unbeknownst to the guinea pigs there, release the silent but deadly part two, chemical poison, biological poison, 5G radiation, who knows, who cares, but it has the same effect. And when all of them go home and then start dropping like flies and dying, we plaster it over MSNBC, CBS, ABC, NBC, and have Fauci and Burke say, hey, we told you so. They violated the guidelines. Look what happens. Now they're dead. Booga, booga, booga. Be afraid. Be very afraid. And by the way, here comes the second shoe now dropping on you. To paraphrase Paul Harvey, if I were the devil and I had unleashed this demonically evil plan to destroy the entire world economy and then, like a phoenix rising from the ashes, build my global New World Order on the bodies of all of those who were sacrificed to the one world God, yeah, if I were the devil, what they've been doing and what I suspect they've got planned next is exactly what I'd do. So is there any good news on the tyranny front this week? Well, we did have a story at midweek about Bolshevik Bernie the Socialist, who finally dropped out of the 2020 presidential race. Essentially, looking at the carnage in the global economy, the coming to fruition of so many of the things he's been pushing, from massive unemployment and bankruptcies in the works from sea to shining sea to checks in the mail, he surveyed the carnage and seems to have decreed, my work here is done. Which leaves creepy quid pro Joe Biden, the senile one, as the only man left standing. No doubt in isolation somewhere, babbling incoherencies, probably drooling on his shoes. But there is at least a bit of good news when it comes to the rapidly unfolding global satanic plan. A few pockets of people pushing back, perhaps in response to stories like this one, courtesy of Zero Hedge and The Mind Unleashed, European cities, along with the United States, are increasingly turning to Achtung talking drones, just like we saw in communist China, to enforce socialist distancing. And it's not only in COVID-1984 Central, New York City, but one of the latest is Daytona Beach, Florida, which now has 8 of the flying and talking pre-Terminator snitches. Still, though, when it comes to the potty mouth showing the peons who's boss, America may not yet have caught up with the mayor of Messina, Italy, who can be heard on video cursing at residents who dared to leave their homes, shouting at them from his own drone fleet, quote, "Where the f*** are you going? Go back home!" But in Italian, of course. So better news still is that we're finally seeing the first signs of actual pushback against the wannabe nanny state global tyrants. In Ohio, protesters gathered outside the State House in Columbus on Thursday to demonstrate against Governor Mike DeWine and the director of the so-called Ohio Department of Health, Dr. Amy Acton, to protest forced closure of their businesses and livelihoods. About 100 of them crashed the governor's coronavirus press briefing to stand up against the state's stay-at-home Achtung order in what appears to be the first public dissent directed towards the COVID-1984 decrees, says Kellen McBreen for InfoWars. Marchers chanted, "Open Ohio," and some of them, wearing V for Vendetta-style Guy Fawkes masks, held signs reading, "Quarantine worse than the virus," and "My constitutional rights are essential," among other things that are just plain no longer politically correct even to talk about, but that people once fought and died for, yeah, in bigger numbers even than the coronavirus victims, because they cared about freedom more than living life in chains. Yes, even if they were velvet chains with free 5G, of course, internet. Former Texas congressman and presidential candidate Ron Paul called on President Trump this week to fire the evil top coronavirus advisor, sick, Dr. Fauci, because, quote, "He's a fraud, he doesn't give good information, and he is trying," he pointed out, "to have total control over the people." Paul did so via his Ron Paul Liberty report, which was actually picked up by the likes of even the UK's Daily Mail, who quoted the physician to say that Fauci provided, quote, "bad information" after he officially lowered his national booga 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 death estimates from the outbreak on Thursday to 60,000 from well over 100,000. Of course, that's contingent upon continued socialist distancing, and along with it, economic self-immolation, which will no doubt in the long run kill far more people than this bioweapon ever would have. The Daily Mail couldn't help but point out that Dr. Paul has previously written about what he called the coronavirus hoax, although they don't tell you why he said that, beyond referring to his skepticism anyway, and as having repeatedly observed that the virus was being used by the government to infringe on what's left of the liberties of Americans. Dr. Paul has pressured the president to remove Fauci, said the paper, after the nation's leading expert, on the coronavirus lowered the country's official death estimates for the illness, saying that Fauci should be fired, but, quote, "if you don't do it in the literal sense, the people have to fire him. They have to fire him by saying he's a fraud." Dr. Paul also made a reference in a separate piece referencing increasing pushback against the tyranny to a Liberty firebrand that the socialist ministries of propaganda don't like at all, Ammon Bundy. You may recall the Bundy family name. The feds tried to steal their livelihood, their ranch, and their cattle, and were met with armed resistance, demonstrating why the founders put the Second Amendment in place to begin with. And yeah, the media seems to hate that even more than they do the rest of the Bill of Rights. Let's call this next quick sequence here the good, the bad, and the ugly when it comes to pushback. First, from EENews.net, under the headline, "Ammon Bundy wants a national effort to buck the anti-freedom coronavirus rules," they note that the Idaho resident last weekend predicted a national movement that could energize a counter the stay-at-home orders that had become prevalent during the latest crackdown on what's left of freedom. Bundy, who came to national attention for his leadership roles in two armed standoffs challenging federal land management, has accused state officials in Idaho of exploiting the COVID-1984 pandemic and violating, gee, here's an easy one, the Constitution's Bill of Rights, by ordering business closures and issuing orders for the slaves to stay home. And he made some pretty cogent comments, folks. Quote, "It really doesn't matter what the numbers are, and when it comes to the coronavirus, it doesn't matter if it's real or not, if it's rampant or not, whether it's a pandemic or not," said Bundy at a meeting organized in Emmett, Idaho, "because it still does not give government officials the right to infringe upon our rights. And that's what matters." From there, on to the bad, courtesy of, well, what else? The New York Times coverage, under the headline that a liberty, and they put it in quotes as if that doesn't matter anymore, a liberty rebellion in Idaho, they say, threatens to undermine coronavirus orders. And they claimed up front that those few dozen people who gathered to hear Ammon Bundy there in Idaho and appeared in the process to violate orders given by Governor Brad Little to avoid group gatherings was an assertion of what Mr. Bundy said, as if they couldn't read it for themselves, was a constitutionally protected right to peaceably assemble. Gee, you'd think the New York Times fact-checkers could at least pull out the First Amendment to the Bill of Rights and read what it actually says. It's pretty darn clear. You'd think even their dumbed-down snowflakes ought to be able to read what it actually says. But at least the Times went on to admit that the opposition's coming not only from people they don't like Mr. Bundy, but also from some state lawmakers and a county sheriff who are calling the governor's statewide stay-at-home order an infringement on individual liberties. Gee, do you think? Which brings me to the ugly, via the likes of New York Mag and Ed Kilgore. And I'll read as much of this tripe as I can stomach till I start to gag. Quote, on the far-right fringe of American politics and society, in locales where people haven't internalized Donald Trump's pivot towards responsible conduct on the coronavirus pandemic, there are plenty of posturing charlatans ready to fan paranoia about social distancing orders, aren't they wonderful, representing a conspiracy to crush freedom and impose totalitarian government. Why, who could possibly believe Big Brother doesn't really love you? But few, he says, are as experienced in the incendiary game of insurrection as Ammon Bundy. Well, maybe they're ignorant of Antifa, Black Lives Matter, and George Soros, folks. Doesn't surprise me. The militia leader, they said, who was famed for leading a 2016 occupation of federal land in Oregon that culminated in a tense standoff with law enforcement officials, and then an acquittal on grounds of prosecutorial misconduct, which was pretty obvious if they'd actually look into it. Well, enough of the tripe, but let me point out what Ammon Bundy really said that the New York propagandists aren't going to bother to quote. Among the first steps that Ammon Bundy plans to take is a grievance to be filed with Republican Governor Brad Little over an emergency declaration that requires the state's slaves to self-isolate at home, and he also encouraged attendees to support businesses, particularly those not deemed by the state anyway, as essential during the closures, even if they risk the threat of arrest. And finally, EENews.net quoted Ammon Bundy to say, you have to make sure that every effort has been taken to try to resolve things in a peaceful manner, in a prudent manner. That is what we have to do to be right with God and to be right with our fellow man. Unquote. And maybe it's obvious why the leftist politically correct publications masquerading as news don't bother quoting lines like that. Let's recap a few events from earlier in the week next. In the United States, the communist Chinese may have pulled the strings of their favorite pet puppet retailer, Walmart. At any rate, they're certainly dancing the booga 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 tune. Michael Snyder puts it this way, things are really starting to get crazy out there. All over the country, what Big Brother deems to be non-essential businesses have been forced to shut down. But because Walmart seems to have the right connections and sells food and other basic supplies, they get to be one of the essential businesses that not only stay open, but may ultimately be selected to pick the platter clean. He and others reference a number of stories from around the country in various Walmarts, one of which, for example, says footage from a Walmart parking lot shows a new surveillance tower fitted with speakers encouraging shoppers, Achtung, to follow the CDC guidelines and observe social distancing. And continues the piece from InfoWars, straight out of 1984, a monotone male voice blares from the tower, telling shoppers to wash their hands and remember to keep a safe distance away from others. And they note loitering inside or outside of the store is strictly verboten. Thank you for choosing Walmart. As if you had that much of a choice. Says Michael Snyder, that trip to your local Walmart will now be a far different thing from what you may have remembered previously. When you arrive, you find that a very narrow entry corridor has been taped off with yellow security tape, and only a very limited number of shoppers are being allowed in at any one time. When you get inside, you'll discover there are strict limits on what you are allowed to purchase. And this may sound bizarre, but it's really happening. And I can tell you folks that even in the local San Luis Valley mountain town of Alamosa, where the local Walmart is almost never as crowded as your normal suburban store, much of the whole town could probably normally fit inside. Yeah, they were doing some of this too. Continues Michael Snyder at the end of The American Dream. Just days ago, it seemed Walmart stores all over the nation were operating normally. But then, on Friday, draconian new restrictions were suddenly announced, which said, starting Saturday, we will limit the number of customers who can be in a store at once. Stores will now allow no more than 5 customers for each 1,000 square feet at a given time, roughly 20% of a store's normal capacity. And to manage this restriction, the associates at a store will mark a queue at a single entry door, in most cases the grocery entrance, and direct arriving customers there, where they will be admitted on a one-by-one basis and counted. Associates and signage. And now it seems Big Brother's loudspeakers will remind customers of the importance of social distancing. Conditioning, in other words, while they're waiting to enter a store, especially before it opens in the morning. And once a store reaches its capacity, customers will be permitted inside on a one-out, one-in basis. And once they do get inside, continues Snyder, they'll find that their choices have been significantly narrowed. The proles in Cuba, the Soviet Union, and now Venezuela understand that process very well. And in some cases, entire aisles at some Walmarts have been completely sealed off. For example, in totalitarian New England, the scourge of shoppers wandering around to combat coronavirus fatigue has resulted in those aisles being cordoned off because they're unnecessary anyway. And as we reported the other day, bureaucratic idiots have now deemed some garden seeds non-essential. And those who were hoping to actually grow food during this time of panic, that hadn't planned ahead at any rate, are out of luck. And of course, as just about anybody who's ever read history, from Thomas Jefferson on, certainly appreciates, once totalitarian measures are implemented, they're almost never backed out. Witness TSA, the end of the Fourth Amendment, escalating death by gun control, and now the destruction of the American economy. As Thomas Jefferson once said, the natural course of things is for government or tyranny to gain ground and liberty to yield. For example, a new Rasmussen poll shows that the booga 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 propaganda measures have been extremely effective, turning people against the concept of what's left of American freedom and God-given rights. 67% of all likely U.S. voters, and that arguably isn't very many if you think about it, now say they want to ban all out-of-state travelers from entering their state, except for emergencies. And a mere 21% are opposed, 12% are too stupid to know. And as for fining those who break social distancing guidelines, over two-thirds, 68%, support such a measure, whether they're slitting their own wrists in the process or not. Two cases in point, courtesy of InfoWars. A paddleboarder was arrested in the People's Republic of California for flouting the coronavirus closure orders, even though he was the only man on the water and there wasn't a soul anywhere near him. And a woman was arrested in New York for acting, failing to observe the social distancing rules, and then spent the next 36 hours packed in a cell, violating social distancing rules with 24 other women. If she wasn't infected before, welcome to the police state.
Are you crazy? Or just plain stupid?
Stupid is stupid does, Miss Blue.
I guess
so, too. And we're seeing it, writ large. Right across the jackboots of the new Gestapo. Some, though, even if they're not necessarily directly intending to profit, are intending to be the new puppet masters. Note Snyder, Bill Gates is plugging money into building factories for 7 potential coronavirus vaccine candidates. I bet he knows which one's going to win already, don't you? Even though it might mean wasting billions of dollars. Hey, who's going to pay for it anyway, right? On Thursday's episode of The Daily Show, good grief, the microshaft billionaire told host Trevor Noah that his so-called philanthropic organization, by these standards, evidently the SS was philanthropic, the Gates Foundation, could mobilize faster than any Big Brothers to fight the coronavirus outbreak. And there's a really disgusting message in there. What they're really fighting, folks, is any attempt to recover a bit of lost liberty. Which takes us to the break and sets the stage for what we'll talk about when we get back. Stay with us.
You're my love, take my land, take me where I cannot stand. I don't care, I'm still free, you can't take the sky from me.
Welcome back now to the second segment for this evening. I'm still your host, Mark Call, and we're still talking about the continued move towards a global tyranny that obviously has been so well planned and executed up until this point. It's been a long time coming, but when you look back at the events over the last couple of not only weeks, but months, it's increasingly hard to deny that not only have a hell of a lot of really nasty, evil people spent a hell of a lot of time and other people's money planning for what we're seeing unfold right now, but I think it's getting harder and harder as well to deny that the Bible didn't have all of this pretty well nailed too, a couple of millennia before the technology existed to do it. I've certainly talked about aspects of that for a long time now, so let's go next to how the plan is coming together and what we need to be aware of and doing about it. For example, as planned and literally baked in the cake at this point, the U.S., says Isabel Z for Natural News, is now headed for an unprecedented housing crisis. Who could have thought it? As mass evictions loom. As of April the 1st, it looks like tens of, perhaps millions, of lease payments, rents, and mortgages didn't get made. You know that means more dominoes will follow. The socialists who run your world will, of course, try to tell you, oh, contracts don't matter anymore in post-constitutional America or even the world. We'll fix it by fiat. And history tells us that'll make things a whole lot worse. Says this story, the U.S. is on its way to what experts term an unprecedented housing crisis as a huge wave of evictions may loom, and measures like temporary bans in some places aren't going to help much in the long run. Princeton University's Eviction Lab tracks eviction policies and trends at the state and federal levels, and they say current policies aren't going to be enough to stop people from becoming homeless, arguably as planned, as an alleged result of the COVID-1984 plandemic, and more importantly, of course, Big Brother's heavy-handed moves to exploit the crisis, while pretending, ironically, to be the real Easter Bunny. While the so-called relief bill passed by Congress in March will supposedly stop foreclosures on any federally backed mortgage loans for a period of 60 days, that only covers around 30 million homeowners. And moreover, its so-called prohibitions on rental evictions for 120 days on properties secured by Big Brother-backed mortgages only covers about half of all multifamily homes. And beyond those measures, renters don't have a lot of protection in many states. Even before the outbreak, 300,000 evictions were filed per month, typically, in America with a K, with about 10 million unemployment claims seen last month. As of this week, the number's up to 17 million. And the only thing that you can count on at this point is, you ain't seen nothing yet. And as Natural News notes, given the number of people that are being commanded to work from home and self-isolate, stay home in general, what will happen when so many millions of them, probably again as planned, end up with no home from which to even do that? But I think Big Brother's got that covered too, because they know people will be on the streets long before that looking for food. By the way, that same website has another piece up, at least for now, by Ethan Huff, noting that the infamous eugenicist and depopulation planner, and certainly, folks, in your host's opinion, one of the most evil men on planet Earth, Bill Gates, has a plan, and you knew that, didn't you? Allegedly to combat the Wuhan coronavirus, but actually to combat the worldwide infestation they seem to think of as the human virus. And it doesn't involve supporting the human immune system through proper nutrition. Instead, they note, Gates wants to jab everyone with a future vaccine, as well as indefinitely force people to social distance from one another and remain in isolation for their own alleged protection. Oh, and of course, in the process, he wants to mark you with something that the Bible's been warning about for about two millennia. The story goes like this. During a recent interview with CBS This Morning, Gates divulged how he believes the FedGov needs to, quote, set the priorities. Hey, isn't that what the Constitution says? The federal government gets to set everybody's priorities? Or, no, maybe that was the Soviet Constitution. Anyway, Gates says the executive branch, Achtung, along with the so-called experts, you know some of those names, Fauci, Burks, etc., need to be putting extreme pressure on the governors of all 50 states to implement their planned medical martial law, Constitution be damned, because they say that's the only way to tackle the crisis. And the problem is, he failed at any point to even bother to mention the benefits of natural things like zinc supplements and vitamins like D3, K2, and vitamin C for natural immune support, as well as any of the other treatment methods successfully employed elsewhere around the world. Instead, Gates spoke of harsh government restrictions, chemical vaccines, and even the aforementioned novel Mark of the Beast microchip tattoos as the alleged solutions to the problem that arguably they've been planning on releasing for a long time now. And he hopes that they can build on the success with the COVID-19, saying, quote, "I think now people understand why those alarms were raised, and that for the next one, we will be far more ready than we were for this one," unquote. Call that a Gatesian prophecy of doom to come, folks. Oh yeah, this has been planned for quite a while, and it certainly seems so far, at least, to be going exactly according to that now, equally obviously, extensively beta-tested plan. Asked if he'd been in contact with the president about any of this, Gates claimed that he hadn't. Instead, though, his foundation is, quote, "trying to be as helpful in a very constructive way as possible," he said, which means to partner, you know, the old fascist public-private partnership tool again, with Big Pharma, the United States CDC, the Center for Deadly Contamination and Promulgation, and the National Institutes of Health, SICK, in order to, quote, "work together on the vaccine and the drugs." And even more chilling, says Huff, was the response that Gates gave to the question about when things might, if ever, return back to normal. And while schools, because we do need to indoctrinate the kiddies, might open sooner rather than later, he says, other, quote, "optional activities like," quote, "mass gatherings, well, they're probably gone for good." Well, unless, of course, people agree to get vaccinated and then have the mark to prove it. And so he said, quote, "until you're widely vaccinated, those may not come back at all," unquote. And the story concludes by noting that Gates is already preparing for the next pandemic, which will surely come real soon, especially given their litany of planned draconian measures. And after all, he said, he, quote, "thinks about pandemics a lot," unquote, and tell me something we didn't already know. And of course, Bill Gates isn't the only Big Brother deep state puppet out there pushing the mark. Quick story from Brock Simmons at the Gateway Pundit about the ghoulish St. Louis Federal Reserve head, James Bullard, who recently appeared on CBS's Disgrace the Nation with Margaret Brennan to talk about the state of the economy and what could be done to stem the outbreak of the virus. And he said the following, yeah, I have good news for you, Margaret, because, quote, there is a solution using available technology today to fix the economic part of this problem. The solution is, drum roll please, yeah, you know it already, don't you? A universal mark, well, testing along with a mark. Quote, what they want is every single person to get tested every day. And then they would wear a badge. Maybe it's a gold star, folks. Like they would after they voted or something, you know, something PC. Something that'll enable massive virtue signaling to show that, quote, they've been tested. This would immediately sort out who's been infected and who hasn't been infected. That would help the healthcare sector, but it would also help the economy because we could interact with each other with a lot of confidence, unquote. But wait, there's more. Next on the propaganda show, former FDA Commissioner Scott Gottlieb appeared and spoke about how we need, oh, golly, who could have imagined, a massive surveillance system, that's a quote, to combat the virus. Well, you know what, folks? You could almost get the impression that if this virus hadn't come along oh so conveniently exactly when it did in order to enable this massive globalist New World Order police state, somebody might have even had to bioengineer and release it. Still have any doubts? Here's another story courtesy of Christina Layla at the Gateway Pundit about an MD in Utah who ran one of the state's largest family practices, graduated magna cum laude at age 19, and then from medical school at age 23, who's an expert in the diagnosis and treatment of human diseases and is a frequent contributor to the Debbie Aldrich Show, known there and on Twitter as Dr. Bill, MD. And he's just a bit torqued off at the heavy hand of Big Brother to prevent the peons from actually getting effective treatment for the latest booga-booga-booga pandemic. Here's how he put it, quote, I'm a licensed physician in Utah. I tried to prescribe hydroxychloroquine, but the pharmacist said the state had taken over the distribution of the drug. Even though I'm licensed, I cannot prescribe it. This, he said, is wrong. And he followed that up with a second tweet saying, quote, I'd like to believe that those officials who are preventing the use of hydroxychloroquine, azithromycin, are erring on the side of caution and not being jerks. But man, we're in the middle of an epidemic. We need to be a little liberal, sick, with the rules. Finally, idiocy or outright evil, and sometimes it's hard to know where one begins and the other ends, isn't just limited to apparatchiks and bureaucrats. Their propaganda ministry is on the same team, too. On Sunday, President Trump held yet another coronavirus press conference, and a hack reporter, as people are saying, from the fraudstream media, asked the president whether it would be a good idea to shut down grocery stores and fast food joints completely. Quote, so why even have a few businesses open? Why don't they just shut everything down? Grocery stores are open. Fast food places, why even take a little chance? Just shut all of it down temporarily. Said the flaming, blithering idiot. Why don't they just lock people in their homes like the Chinese did, weld them in, and shoot them if they try to come out? That way they won't need any food anyway.
So this is how liberty dies. With thunderous applause.
Certainly our look at the Chinese Communist Party takeover of America with a K wouldn't be complete without at least another look at how to lie via statistics. The Bureau of Lying Statistics, plural actually, has elevated it to an art form, and now the Centers for Deadly Contamination and Pandemic Promulgation have picked up where they left off. And once you see how it's done, it's kind of hard to take Big Brother's lying statistics without, well, a huge grain of salt. Christina Layla, again, doing yeoman's work for the Gateway Pundit, laid this out over the weekend in a piece headlined, from the CDC website itself, hospitals are going to list COVID-19 as the cause of death, quote, even if it's assumed to have caused or even contributed to death. And no, we don't need no stinking lab tests in order to panic people. The media begins as bombarding Americans round the clock with updates on the death count, booga, 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 highlighting death maps and scaring people into staying home and being good little slaves of the much-ballyhooed Fourth Reich police state. And the media hysteria, she notes, is based on the Bill Gates-funded IHME coronavirus model that's proven to be way off. But it gets worse. The CDC has their own coding system called ICD, and now they've implemented a new code to keep track of coronavirus deaths, or maybe even inflate them. It's called U07.1, and it'll be used for death by coronavirus. However, there's a secondary code, she notes, U07.2, for clinical or epidemiological diagnosis of COVID-19, where a laboratory confirmation is either inconclusive or just plain not available. Because laboratory tests, etc., are not typically reported on death certificates in the U.S., NCHS is not planning on implementing the U07.2 code for mortality statistics, which she notes is a huge problem. In other words, you're not going to be able to know for sure. The data will be suspect. Because, and I quote again from the CDC, the underlying cause depends upon what and where conditions are reported on the death certificate. However, and listen carefully, folks, the rules for coding and selection of the underlying cause of death are expected to result, almost by design, you might think, in COVID-19 being the underlying cause more often than not, unquote, read the guidelines. And the same guidelines that came out on March 24 also said COVID-19 should be reported on the death certificate for all decedents where the disease caused or is assumed to have caused, or even contributed to death. Certificates should include as much detail as possible based on their knowledge of the case, medical records, lab testing, etc., continued the guidance. But if the decedent had other chronic conditions, such as COPD or asthma, that may also have contributed, well, these conditions can be reported in Part 2, unquote. Now, here's the key, folks. The headline statistics aren't going to pay any attention to Part 2, don't you know? The beat goes on, the death statistics will be inflated, and the lemmings keep marching towards the cliff and into the arms of the waiting Fourth Reich. which is why it's important we talk now about some real medical information as opposed to the fear-mongering you typically get from the ministries of propaganda. What you're not going to get here is the usual mantra, cower in your houses, slaves, take your UBI check, keep your mouth shut, and by all means, of course, like a good little slave, when we mandate the vaccine, bend over and take it. And pay no attention to that man behind the curtain, especially if he's talking about any non-vaccine cure that you're not going to be allowed to hear about anyway. Since when, for crying out loud, would human beings actually think they might still have a right to try something rather than simply dying the nasty death that so many in the deep state may have planned for them? Good grief, folks. If you actually watch what these tyrants are doing, it's hard to argue that they don't intend to kill millions. For example, Dr. Oz was on with Lou Dobbs Monday to discuss the latest on the coronavirus plandemic, and during the conversation, he revealed that the evil governor of totalitarian New York, Andrew Cuomo, had shut down his study to attempt to determine the effectiveness of hydroxychloroquine in the early treatment of the coronavirus. And he's not happy with the governor's action, because basically, he wanted to repeat some clinical trials like are being done elsewhere, and wasn't permitted to. Well, said Dr. Oz, I'm upset because I wanted to do the trial. Also, I wanted it to be legal in my state for a doctor to talk to a patient about the COVID-19 and treat them as they saw appropriate. Unquote. And just where does he think he lives, folks? In a free country? Slaves clearly don't get to make decisions like that. And they don't even have a right to know, it seems, what they're being used as guinea pigs for. Fox News medical correspondent Dr. Mark Siegel joined Tucker Carlson on Tuesday night to discuss the hydroxychloroquine treatment for the coronavirus, and in the process he said a whole bunch of things that pseudo-experts like Anthony Fauci, Deborah Birx, and the infamous Dr. Bill Gates really don't want you to hear, because they're pushing a whole different control agenda. He described some of the very positive results they've been seeing with hydroxychloroquine, a malaria treatment, and Z-Pax to treat the virus. Then he went on to describe some current studies.
That's all in the background of this. Now, there's clinical trials emerging in Rutgers, at NYU, at Penn. There's one coming out in China right now, preliminary in 62 patients, that appears to show that it decreases severity early in the game, before you end up hospitalized, before you end up on a ventilator. So if you're a doctor and you take into account the side effects here, and there are some, you may decide that it's well worth it for particular patients.
And finally, he followed all of that up with a very moving anecdote.
Tucker, I want to tell you about a 96-year-old man in Florida who said one night, I don't think I'm going to make it. I feel very weak. The end is coming. I'm coughing. I'm short of breath. I can't get up from the couch. The next day, he was on hydroxychloroquine and antibiotics per his cardiologist. He got up the next day. He was fine. This man is my father.
Which certainly helps bring home the point. Same concept, different source. Bill Sardi, writing for Lou Rockwell today, says modern medicine knew about the zinc cure for coronavirus infections a decade ago, but failed to put it into practice. And yes, he begins the long-standing bias against natural over patentable synthetic molecules in the practice of medicine has now resulted in the avoidable premature death of thousands of the most vulnerable individuals and the abrupt and near complete economic collapse of modern society due to an unwarranted over-response, to put it mildly, by health authorities, political masters or overseers, and sensationalist propagandists, a.k.a. the waste-stream news media. The narrow and archaic vaccine-only paradigm to treat infectious diseases has now left human populations vulnerable to a highly transmissible, continues Sardi, and potentially pathogenic virus with no approved, there's the key word, drugs or vaccines in place. Unprepared public health authorities should have all resigned by now, but no, folks, you know what's going to happen. They're going to be your new masters. Instead, they wield unelected power, says Sardi, as they mandate countermeasures such as indoor quarantine that will further deprive the sunlight-deprived masses in the Northern Hemisphere of the natural vitamin D needed to prevent seasonal infectious disease. And the power-hungry must produce deaths in order to spread the fear they need to extend to control the planet's human populations. What looms is a decree for universal vaccinations before the multitudes are permitted to return to, well, what's never again going to be normal life. And the supposition is that only the health authorities, Achtung, know what is best for the 7 billion hostages, a.k.a. peons, presumed to be medically ignorant. Well, even if they're not, they're presumed to be slaves. And all of this man-made chaos, says Bill Sardi, could have been avoided by putting into practice a remedy described nearly a decade ago. Now, he goes into all the clinical background here, but basically it boils down to, yep, as we've been talking about, there are treatments for COVID-19, among other varieties of the coronavirus, bioengineered or natural, with nearly 100% success. The treatment protocol, described by Dr. Vladimir Zelenko, MD, in the PLOS Pathogens Journal, November 2010, involves oral zinc as a supplement, chloroquine as a zinc ionophore, and azithromycin as an antibiotic. And this pretty detailed article has all kinds of eye-opening stuff in it concerning correlations that people have observed, like links between zinc deficiency, diabetes, and immunities, as well as zinc's relationship to tobacco smoking and lung disease. Basically, he says every smoker ought to supplement their diet with zinc if they can't quit the addiction. And the key factor he suggests to understand with respect to this whole hydroxychloroquine hoo-ha is that the drug in question is a zinc-enhancing agent that facilitates the entry of zinc into cells, and that virtually all the signs and symptoms of COVID-19 correlate with symptoms of zinc deficiency. All of which, says Bill Sardi, suggests that zinc deficiency is prominent among diabetics, smokers, and alcohol imbibers, as well as the elderly. In other words, those that comprise high-risk groups for influenza and coronavirus infections. And as it turns out, those subpopulations also don't respond well to vaccinations. I guess the real trouble here is that if everybody took their zinc supplements, it might well be that the New World Order and Deep State would be set back in their tracks. They wouldn't be able to push their worldwide global domination and vaccine requirements, and along with it, the mark of the beast that they're so hot to trot for. Summarizing his research, Bill Sardi says, modern medicine seems to coerce the public into trying to wait for the development and regulatory approval of synthetic versions of molecules that resemble zinc, so-called analogs, in order to capitalize financially at the expense of human life and health. But whether an unaware public will catch on to this covert ruse is unknown. Still, he says, with a bit of needed interpretation, it's erupted into the public forum now for all to see. Modern medicine and the so-called Centers for Disease Control, SICK, have held the public hostage to wait for an unproven and likely problematic and almost certainly, folks, indemnified vaccine, and they've thus betrayed the public's trust, given an economical and more targeted natural therapy is already at hand. And the consequences, he says, have been unconscionable. At what point, he asked, does the public say enough is enough? Vaccination is literally a dead-end street. And does the medical-industrial complex expect the public to placidly receive almost endless injections for hundreds of diseases? Will enough people be able to see what's going on to squirm out of the grip of this evil government medical cabal and their attempt to further enslave the masses? Well, all that remains to be seen. But with their own lives at stake, how much pushback will a misled public generate anyway? Before I move on, I'll note that Sardi says that chloroquine might be an inexpensive and relatively widely available drug, but it's still available only by prescription. Following endorsement by the President of the United States, however, on March 19th, and emergency approval thereafter by the FDA on March 30th, 2020, it was initially reported by this investigative journalist and later others that chloroquine is a zinc-enhancing agent that facilitates the entry of zinc into cells. And virtually all the signs and symptoms of COVID-19 correlate with symptoms of zinc deficiency. The trouble is, widespread publicity resulted in a shortage of this drug, which doctors are now using to treat COVID-19 infections. And furthermore, he adds there's no real practical way to supply or deliver 326 million Americans with any drug, especially one like this, in a timely fashion. And so as a last resort, Dr. Zelenko's protocol of an antibiotic, zinc, and a zinc ionophore could be mimicked with natural remedies, he suggests, as follows. 1. Cinnamon extract or cinnamon oil and or to a lesser degree oil of oregano are available as natural antibiotics in place of azithromycin. Quercetin as a zinc ionophore or a cell entry enhancer for the zinc supplements, and then zinc itself up to 30 milligrams a day. Be aware, he says, when it comes to zinc, more is not better, because excessive zinc can lead to suppression of the immune response, which of course is exactly the opposite of what you want, unless maybe you're a Big Brother aficionado. Finally, additional vitamin B6 and selenium can improve absorption and bioavailability of zinc. So yeah, folks, there are options, whether we're talking medicine, economics, or even worship. The question is whether Big Brother wants you to know about them, much less exercise them.